This morning, I wanted to read a few short clips out of a newspaper. Now, these stories happened recently. They didn't come from a faraway progressive land, and they aren't something coming from a liberal-minded university somewhere. These articles came right out of the local paper here in Stonewall. I'll read a portion of two different articles. I'll just give a little background on it. So the one is trying to describe, it's telling about a program called the SARA program, a sexual assault recovery and healing program that's available in the Interlake Health Region. And it's open to schools and whoever chooses to go there. And this is one of the counselors. And this person is one that's, well, trying to counsel people on how to heal. This person claims herself as, I'm not sure about that, but as a non-binary person. This person's name is L.P. Penner, and that's how she wants to be acknowledged, as just as L.P. Penner. So she says in here, I've had battles with my own body, mind, and spirit, society's expectations of them, and learned to claim my own power, claim the way I present myself, and find acceptance where I feel that I won't ever fit in. This means in counseling, I can help you explore your own identity and relationships with the world, the way we are taught to be in the world. My own gender journey has allowed me to break so many gender rules and build a safe home. I try to bring those tools to anyone who might find them helpful. It has also led me to be more focused on empowering whomever I work with and being a little more casual. As I've learned, rigid paths to healing didn't work for me, opening possibilities for what might work for anyone else. So that's one article. And the other one was about Mr. Carl Swan from Lake Manitoba First Nations. He is an Indigenous drummer, and this is what he was at Woodland School a couple weeks ago. And he says, I am blessed to be here, he said, before smudging his body and all the items before he used them, all his drum and whatnot. He played and sang the Tree Song, a song that came to him 7 years ago at a time in his life when he was feeling very down due to dysfunction. The lyrics encouraged one to listen to the land, the trees, the water, and understand it and respect it, because it will give you meaning of true life and understanding of Creator's love. Without the sun, nothing would grow. Without that sun, we wouldn't have the water working with Grandmother Moon. Before playing again, a student volunteered to participate in a tobacco offering. The student took a pinch of tobacco, which he placed into an orange cloth that Swan tied to his drum. Swan explained that there are prayers in the tobacco, and we must learn to carry those wishes and prayers that we all wish for. And we want everybody to be healthy. We want everybody to coexist, because that is what life is all about. And that was the original plan for us to work together. He told students that you have to live your life and earn your rites of passage. And he's had to go through this 30-year journey of ceremonies, continuous ceremonies, to get to where he is today. Well, never in history has our God-created gender been in question as it is today, and never has the idol worship of the creation occurred on such a widespread and global scale. Now, these two people either presented their story to a school, to the school kids, or their services are readily available to the school. Yet, Child Evangelism Fellowship and its Discovery Time program is not being let back into the school like it was a couple years ago. If these two people would have had the chance to be in that discovery time in those discovery time lessons, they would have known from the Bible readings that happen in those classes how to deal with how we are created, why we were created, and how our relationship with God, other people, and the rest of creation should work. Now I want to read a portion out of Genesis 1, 26 to 31. So here we are. This is day 6 of creation. God had already had a busy day at the beginning of day 6. He'd already created the land animals and creeping things and wild beasts. And starting in 26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creation, and all that moves along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing planet on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was a morning, the sixth day. And if you look at that in verse 31, where God said that he had looked at what he had made and it was very good. If you look through all the other days, he declared them good. But when he created man, it was very good. Now, first of all, he made us in his image. We look like him. We think like him. We have all the emotions of God. We have free will, just like God does. We are the climax of God's creative activity. We are the most precious creation. And this is why all human beings are worthy of honor and respect, and we are neither to be murdered nor cursed, but upheld as servants of God and rulers of his creation. Next, God said at the end of the day that it was very good. Like I said earlier, all the other days God created, and he just called that good. Next, God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. He didn't walk with the animals or swim with the fish. No, he spent time with the two people he created. And finally, God had a plan worked out to save those people and all people to come from eternal damnation by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to pay for our sin, which started when we ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God didn't make a salvation plan for the rest of creation, just for us. So why don't these two people in the newspaper know this? And not to exclude the countless others out there that don't know as well. So again, I ask, why don't they know? What does God require of us? And what is our job as Christians here on earth? In one verse in Micah, Micah 6, verse 8, God tells us what he expects of us, what's required of us. We'll go there now. And in verse 8, it says, God says, God speaking, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And then later on in Matthew, Christ expands on what he's asked us to do with the Great Commission. We'll go there in chapter 28, verses, I'll start at 18 and go to verse 20. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So now that we know what our job is, what's the problem? Well, part of the problem is that we, as Christ's representatives, aren't out in the world proclaiming the good news of salvation like we have been, especially in the last couple of years. While we've been sidetracked by pandemic numbers, rules, regulations, and restrictions, Satan has slipped right in under the smokescreen and is having a heyday. Drug use has skyrocketed, along with all kinds of domestic violence and abuse, suicide, anxiety, and other emotional pain through the roof, way up. We have to remember that when God's salvation message isn't getting out to the world, a vacuum is created and something else, way worse, will take its place. If we've learned anything from the Western armies pulling out of Afghanistan, that as soon as they left, something else moved in and it was obviously way worse. And that's exactly what's been happening. In this church and many other churches like it, weddings and funerals, fall suppers, ladies' teas, church picnics, Christmas concerts haven't been happening. And here in this house, God's salvation plan through the Son, Jesus Christ, that is, if we believe and repent, is preached at every one of those different events. We have to get back to doing those things and maybe a few different things, because the world desperately needs us to bring them the message of God's love for all of us, his most precious creation, and how he planned to save it. It's most definitely going to be more difficult than it was before. As in the days of Joshua, when he led the Israelites into the promised land with God as their power and strength, he had to fight for every square inch of territory, and they prevailed because God went before them. We also are going to have to suit up in the armor of God and step out with God as our strength to take back the ground we have lost and to take new ground we thought wasn't even possible. I'd like to conclude by reading about that armor of God, and the second part of it is the, once we have that armor on, is the prayer that we need to pray for ourselves and for each other. Well, then that is in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 12. Paul writes to the Ephesians here while he's in jail. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that when I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I declare it fearlessly as I should. To God be the glory.